Morning. Wonderful to see you. And ladies, thank you for releasing your husbands over the weekend. I trust that they came home changed, inspired, and empowered to be better men of God. If they didn't, our next men's camp, send them back again, and we'll allow the Holy Spirit to do some work with them. It is a privilege to be able to minister this morning, to share God's word with you. But before I do, I think Grant, weekend before last, announced that Shelley and I are heading off on a three-month sabbatical. And so we are very confident and comfortable that as we're gone, nothing changes. The church will carry on because there's a team of elders that lead and govern the local church, and they do that together in terms of leading and governing. And so I trust we won't be missed in that respect because they'll carry on leading. But we know that every team needs a leader. And so John O'Sharp, in our absence, will be running point on behalf of that eldership team along with his wife, Natalie. So just purely Jono's in the operational side of what we do as a local church. And so the church is not leaderless in that time, just to let us know. Awesome. But we're looking forward to our break. We're grateful and thankful for you releasing us. And we'll be praying for you, Jono, as you lead these men. No, they're a delight to lead. I'm joking. They really are easy men to do mission together with. Right, moving on. Our preaching series, Family on Mission. I'm touching on the topic this morning of giving together. That's the title of the message. And so I've been looking at some stats, and I'm not going to share the stats with you, because there's many that support what I'm about to say. It seems like South Africans spend a lot of money. So a lot of their disposable income is spent. Now, I know that it's spent on the necessities of rent and medical aid and all those things that we need, but it seems like there's a trend where there's much of our finances and our time that's invested in non-essential items. You would be surprised to know how many South Africans spend their time on the internet visiting e-commerce sites, and they're ordering stuff that gets delivered to their door. More and more South Africans are living in that culture. Don't even have to leave home to go shopping. You just hit a few buttons and you pay with your card, your credit card, because you can't pay with a normal card. Some of these sites, you'll know credit card details. And next minute, 3 days later, or if you're like Matthew Arthur, 3 months later, the thing arrives. He ordered something, I don't know on what site, but it took 3 months to get there. I think he learned his lesson. And so we are spending much of our disposable income, I believe, on non-essential stuff, South Africans. And can I say at the outset, so please hear this, it is not wrong to enjoy some of what we have been blessed with. It is not wrong to appreciate the things that God has given us, but we need to be wise in how we steward that. My prayer this morning is as our ministers that we will be challenged by God's word to be, and his truth, to be more open-hearted and open-handed with the resources that he's given us. If our heart is closed to being a blessing, then it'll all be self-gratifying and self-centered in the way that we use those resources. Open-hearted, our hands will be open and our wallets will be open and our bank account would be open to the use of the Holy Spirit. You know, generous giving is often referred to in the Bible. The Bible is full of generous giving, not just about receiving. Much of the Bible is dedicated. Much of God's truth is dedicated to generous giving. God himself reveals his heart to his people as a generous God who is loving, and he is lavish in his giving it. He's proven it by the giving of his son, Jesus Christ, the ultimate gift given to mankind, a son laid down for the sake of mankind. That is lavish generosity. It's demonstrated in the sacrifice of his son, Jesus Christ. And so if we plumb this truth that we are plumbing at the moment in the context of our preaching series, that we are a family on mission, in the context of giving, what we're wanting to be is as generous as the Father's generous. Now, I'm not saying we're going to lay our children down. at the altar of sacrifice. But what I'm saying is the very resources that he has given us. This is not just about money, friends. We're going to be looking at time, treasure, and talents this morning. We take our time and our talents and our treasures and we lay them down at the altar. We say, Lord, I'm wanting to be generous. As you're generous, that which you're giving me, I'm going to be generous and lavishly generous with. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18, Paul is writing to the church in Corinth, and he had to write some things to that church because they were a bit closed-hearted, a bit hard-hearted to the truth, to the working of the Holy Spirit on a redeemed life. We see it in their behavior. But this is what Paul writes to them, and he says, and we all. So he's speaking from a place of this. I'm not encouraging you or asking you to walk in something that I'm not walking in. He says, and we all, who with unveiled faces contemplate the Lord's glory, are being transformed into his likeness, into his image, with ever increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. So what he's saying is, he says, in the way that we live our lives, in the way husbands that we lead our wives, the way fathers that we treat our children, mothers included, says we are wanting to become like Jesus. So what Paul's saying in this passage of Scripture, as Jesus is, we want to become and we desire to become. Now I understand we're on a journey. I understand we're in a process. We are not perfect. Only he is perfect. But his desire for us, our desire in him is to grow into his likeness with ever increasing glory. This is this truth that Paul unpacks for us this morning. When we give generously, friends, of our time, when we give generously of our talents, the gift that the Holy Spirit has birthed with inside each one of us, when we are generous with our finances, our treasures, when we meet the needs of those who have needs, God is glorified. And so, generosity is an important aspect of faith together. As he is, we become. As we become more generous, God is glorified, and his people experience the grace and the majesty and the splendor, the wonderful power of the gospel. It's not just about preaching a sermon. It's practical, this giving together. Psalm 24, verse 1, is like our anchor text this morning. We cannot preach on generosity unless we've got a handle on this truth. It changes the way we think about our time. It changes the way that we think about our treasure. It changes the way that we think about the talents that God has given us. And David writes, the earth is the Lord's. This planet of which we are sojourners, we're going to be here for a short while, belongs to him. It's not ours to abuse and use as we feel like. It's his. He keeps it spinning on its axis. He gives us the air that we breathe. He causes all things to grow in it. He's given it its diversity and its beautiful creativity. And we are to steward it well. But then he goes on, he says, and everything in it. And everything in it, nothing left out. Everything in it belongs to him. And all who live in it. Isn't that amazing? Our lives are not our own. We belong to him. And the very things that he has given us belong to him. And we cannot claim anything as rightfully ours. Well, I've worked for it. I deserve it. No, sir, ma'am. He has given it to you in his grace and in his mercy and his great love. He has given it to us. Every resource that we have, the psalmist seems to be saying here, every resource that we have, time is a spiritual resource. Talent is a spiritual resource. And what's the other one? Treasure is a spiritual resource that belongs to God, belongs to him. And when we view them through this conviction that David, the psalmist, points us to, that the earth is the Lord's, everything in it, and the world, and all who live in it, when we view them through this aspect of that they are spiritual, that we become totally dependent upon the grace of God. Not because of us, it's not because of our efforts and our energy, because he has given it to us and apportioned it to us in his grace. So if he has given it to us and we steward it well, we can expect him to keep on blessing us so we could be a blessing. It helps us form a conviction about stewardship. It shapes how we utilize that which God has given us. Please turn to Proverbs 11, verses 24 to 25. My voice is a bit ropey, and it's not from sharing too much this weekend. It's from my chest being transformed by a couple of hills that I had to cycle with Hubert yesterday. Thank you, Hubert, and where's Richard? And Grant. Who else was involved in that group? Eugene. Thank you for stretching my lungs. So if I rasp this morning, it's all their fault. The Message translation, Proverbs 11, verses 24 to 25. Yes, Solomon is also, he's viewing this aspect of God's grace and the resources that have been given, not only to him, but in the context of our message today. And this is what he writes. He says that the world of the generous, can I say that again? The world of the generous gets larger and larger. But the world of the stingy, I love that translation. The hard-hearted, the close-fisted. The world of the stingy gets smaller and smaller. This is a biblical principle. The one who blesses others is abundantly blessed. Those who help others are helped. This is God's word. This is not some man's philosophy. Not just a good idea that comes from some cosmic source. This is God's heart. This is God's truth. This is God's word expressed. That the generous, as they are generous, as we give of our time, of our treasure, of our talents, the world gets bigger. More people are impacted by the heart of the Father through us giving. But if we withhold and we get stingy, we have a very limited influence and impact on our world. See, if we are to be a family, yes, we are to enjoy who we have, what we have in God. But we're a family on mission. It's not just hoard and keep. It's to give. Our time is not our own. Give on mission, and you give in the context of the treasure that you have, the finances that we've been blessed with. Give what you're able to give, the very gift that God has put inside of each and every one of us. He hasn't just given it to make you look important, sir, ma'am. He's given it to us so we could be a blessing to others. Others can experience the heart of the Father expressed through you. Beautiful, isn't it? This truth, this spiritual principle that God has very deliberately included in His truth, in His word, shapes the behavior of His family. All truth shapes behavior. Am I right? Not just a good idea. It's not just an optional extra like you're hitting the breakfast buffet. Well, I'll have some of that and then that's not so lekker, you know. All of God's word is helpful. And what God's saying is that the world of the generous increases as we bless others, that we will be abundantly blessed. It's like an oxymoron. How can this be that if I give more, I gain more? And often we live with this thinking that if I give, I'll have nothing. Well, God says that if we are dependent upon His grace and we rest in Him, if He gives everything and He sees how generous we are in sowing into this world that we live in, and He says, I'm happy with your generosity. I'm happy that you're blessing. I'm going to show you that you cannot outgive me. And as you give, there's this channel that opens. As we bless, He just tops up. And yet so often we live with an understanding, well, if I don't give, I'm going to miss out. I'm going to suffer. No. We find that we start to struggle a little bit because we're not resting in God's grace. John chapter 7, verse 38. Jesus Himself speaking says, whoever believes in me. So He says, if you consider yourself to be one of my disciples, if you consider yourself to be a Christ follower, He says, as Scripture has said, rivers of living water will flow from within. Friends, he's referring to the Holy Spirit, but I think there's a biblical principle there of what I'm talking about this morning, generosity. That as we are generous, streams of living water, as we are giving to those who have need, says that streams of living water flow into those dry and barren places and it brings life. That's what Jesus is saying. When we view our resources as spiritual and we see the barrenness and we begin to sow into that barrenness, whatever that barrenness might need, it might be a word for somebody who's going through a difficult time in marriage. And you boldly just bring a word of knowledge for that person, a word of encouragement for that person. What we're releasing is streams of living water. It applies to the other resources that we're talking about. Brings life. So when we call to be a family on mission, that's what we call to, is to bring life, to release the life of God. And when we are generous with what he has given us by his grace, the life of Christ flows. Recipients encounter the life-giving presence of Jesus Christ. So being family on mission, to come back to our heading, it requires an investment of our time, of our treasure, and of our talents into his kingdom. What we do is when we sow generously, family on mission, what we are doing is we are investing into eternity. The very thing that we've been singing about and speaking about that Jonah brought this morning. Where your heart is, there your treasure will be also. Matthew chapter 6, invest in the things that have eternal value, where rust doesn't destroy and moss don't come and steal. Eternity. When we invest into people, friends, that's the eternity that God is calling us. That's our mission field, is people. So we've just dealt with the first principle. Now I'm going to give us some handles. First principle, if you haven't guessed it, God owns everything. All things are his. Second principle we're going to be looking at is stewardship. And one of the things that's in the Bible, and I think we've got to be reminded of it, in the context of the principle of stewardship, stewarding well, Psalm 24, verse 1, everything belongs to God. When we understand that, then we begin to steward properly. And the first handle I wanted to speak about this morning is work hard. If we are to be a blessing, and we want the blessing of God to flow, we've got to work. God blesses those who work hard. We live in a culture in South Africa at the moment, in this culture of entitlement. And evidence seen in the demands that are made constantly. You turn to the newspapers or you listen or you watch the news. It just seems that our nation is just asking for free everything. Free water, free lights, free medical aid, free education. Now I understand that the poor who don't have need to have and we need to help them. But we have the rich fat cats who are also on that bandwagon shouting free everything. Culture of entitlement. I'm entitled to everything. No, sir, ma'am, we are entitled to love Jesus Christ and to submit our lives and surrender our hearts to him and to walk in accordance to his truth. And I tell you, if more of us, more of our nation, work hard, we will see more blessing. We won't be having the social issues and the social challenges that we face. Yes, we will have some, but not to the degree we are seeing. Free everything, an endless list of free demands. And if I don't get it, I'm going to protest and I'm going to throw my toys out the cot until I get it. I'm going to burn some buildings, burn some libraries, the very resources that are to be a blessing are being destroyed, this culture. The Bible is consistently clear that God values hard work. In other words, nothing for free. Proverbs 14. Verses 23 to 24. Some amazing truths in these Proverbs. This is what Solomon says. He says, all hard work brings a profit. But mere talk leads only to poverty. Can talk about working. Can think about working. Can pray about working. But only hard work is the thing that brings profit. He says, mere talk leads only to poverty. The wealth of the wise is their crown, but the folly of fools yields folly. What he seems to be saying is we cannot be idle and expect God's blessing. If our nation was more diligent, there would be lesser people, I believe, requiring care. See, Paul had to deal with this culture of entitlement in Thessalonica. It's not a new thing. It existed in biblical times. And there existed there a culture of sponging. Can I say that? Sponging? You know what sponging is? I don't work, I just sponge off somebody else. I don't work, then I become a burden to someone else. This is what the Bible says. Not me, the Bible. This is a heart of the Father expressed. And Paul says, for even when we were with you, we gave you this rule. Not an option. This is the rule. This comes from the Father. We gave you this rule. The one who is unwilling to work shall not eat. So he says, seems to be saying there are some amongst you who seem to be sponging off one another. Stop feeding them because you're just perpetuating a bad habit. He says, we hear that some amongst you are idle and disruptive. Isn't it interesting? Idle hands, trouble. We hear that these are the sponges that are actually idle and disruptive. He says they are not busy. They are busy bodies. He says, such people we command, not only command and urge, in the Lord Jesus to settle down and earn the food they eat. Wonderful truth that. Liberating, actually. Just work and enjoy the fruit of your labor. He seems to be saying here that idle hands cause trouble. And when we work, friends, I just love Basil McLean is not here. I don't know where he is today. The men's camp was a bit tough for him yesterday. He needed to take a day off. Now I'm joking. He had something. Malawi. Okay, cycle tour. But he often hears him saying, the best way for people to enjoy the blessing of God is to give out of their own need. Serve. You're going through a tough time. You're going through a really rough time. Serve. Serve your way. Love your way out of that space. And it is so true. It is so true. That seems to be one of his refrains over all the years, 15 years that I've known him. And it is so true. That's what Paul's saying here. When we work, when we serve others, it's God's way of each one being a blessing to others and not being a drain on one another. Second handle. The Bible says work righteously. Not only are we to work hard, we are to work righteously. Paul writes in Colossians chapter 3, verse 23. He says, whatever you do, whether you serve, whether you're working, whatever space or environment you're in, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord. So he's saying that as a follower of Jesus Christ, the manner in which we live, the manner in which we work, etc., should be consistent with the values of the Bible. So I'm trusting that as employees in a marketplace, we are honoring Jesus as followers of Christ in the way that we work for our employer. Likewise, employers, if you employ people, ensure that you are working righteously, that you honor Jesus in the way you're stewarding the business and that resource called people that work in that business. To me, it's alarming. This Bosasa scandal, and I'm not going to give it a whole amount of airplay. It's alarming. The level of corruption that has been uncovered is obscene. Billions of rands. Corruption. But what is more obnoxious, and I'm not having a go at any name here, is that the central role players in that whole scandal are purported to be self-proclaimed followers of Jesus Christ. You know what that does for the gospel? I'm not surprised that this whole thing is blown up and being exposed because Jesus is about righteousness. God will not let us get away with deception done in his name. He honors and blesses those that are obedient, who honor him and walk according to his truth. So that business that we have, business people, steward it well. Honor God and honor those that work for you. Employees, that job that you have, that where you're working for someone, can I encourage you, do it well with all your heart as though serving not your boss, the Lord. Proverbs 10, verse 16. The wages of the righteous is life, but the earnings of the wicked are sin and death. Again, Proverbs 11, verse 18. A wicked person earns deceptive wages, but the one who sows righteousness reaps a sure reward. So what we seem to be getting out of these scriptures is don't be unscrupulous in your business dealings. Honor Jesus, and he will bless you. He will provide for you, and he will keep that fountain of blessing flowing.